Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
What's going on, Dolphins fans? I really thought today I'd be starting this show out on a super positive note. I felt all week that we were going to rebound, but instead of rebounding, we went the other way, obviously, yesterday. And right now I have Max Himmelrich from the Deep End, Miami.com. How you doing, man?
Doing as good as I possibly could be after that. How about yourself?
I'm doing crappy. I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. And if I could just kind of start this off for a minute and say that what I realized after one day of this, seeing this game and seeing the last two games is, as Dolphins fans, we need to just reset. And what I mean by reset is you're going to go to your table, you're going to take off all that awesome, nice china that you had on there that you thought your team was going to be, and you're going to replace it with, you know, maybe a step above some really nice plasticware and paper plates. That's pretty much what we're looking at right now.
I totally agree. I mean, we need to... Not even that. I mean, I think that if we're all very let down by what we feel is underperforming by both the players and the coaches, and really the thing that within that game that upset me the most was seeing Olivier Vernon's personal foul, you know, on that last drive that gave them enough field position to hit that last field goal. I mean, that was just stupid. I mean, he had a guy on the ground. He had a guy and just slammed him into the ground. And you can't do that in the National Football League. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that he did that. I thought of him. And it's a contract year for him. And if he's showing immaturity, and I don't know if I want him back on the team, if he's going to do that kind of thing.
And that's the kind of thing you're used to seeing out of people when they're frustrated at the end of a season. You're going to see him just kind of a season's worth of frustration, not seven quarters of frustration. I mean, really? I mean, I understand that he might be a little frustrated, his injury situation. It's a contract year for him. The team's really not in a situation where they thought they'd be. But again, I will say, as Dolphins fans and as the Dolphins themselves, need to look in the mirror and realize, you know what? We are not what we thought we would be. Doesn't mean we won't get there at some point, but obviously we're not. So we just need to look at what we really are. What do we know about this team? What do we think about this team and that it could be or not be? And what can we prove so far? I mean, that's really where I'm at with it right now. So I'm not going into week three like I went into. Well, you go into week one and we thought we were going to see a playoff team dominate Redskins. We didn't see it. Then we thought, okay, you know, maybe a little wake up call. We're going to see that team week two. We definitely didn't see it. So I'm not going into week three thinking I'm seeing that anymore. I'm going into week three knowing what I'm going to see. And it's going to help me get through the season a little bit more, honestly.
Yesterday, if anyone has read any of the articles, yesterday I was pretty rough. I called for some heads. It wasn't pretty. Today I really took a step back and said, I mean, one thing I will note, there were two things. One, there were some positive performances. I think we can all acknowledge that that was one of the better games for Ryan Tannehill that we saw.
Yes. Personally. He was very good.
And two, Buffalo loss. And hopefully, I mean, we've got Monday Night Football on as we speak. Hopefully the Jets lose. And then, you know, we kind of just start out where we've always started out, which is we're going to be a couple games down on New England. But we could still, you know, after this week, standing, it's not college football. You know, standings don't care who you lost to. It's just that you lost. So,
yes.
You know, the standings won't know that we lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars more than we lost to Seattle Seahawks. So... when we look at what's going on right now, I mean, if the Jets are playing pretty well right now against the Colts, which is absolutely mind-boggling. But if the Jets manage to lose and then the Dolphins, then next week is a new season. You know, it's kind of like, for me, what these first 2 weeks were, was non-conference play. Mm-hmm. Like in college football, you know, they start out with a few non-conference games.
Yeah.
And then now the Miami Dolphins have to go up against the Buffalo Bills in their home opener and then go to London to play the Jets. And I think we can all acknowledge if we play the way we have in these last two games, we won't beat either of those teams. But who knows what happens? I mean, those rivalry games in the division, who knows? Because it's all up in the air. It's all up in the air for that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that I think there's going to be a lot of energy on Sunday. It's a home opener. People are going to be excited. New renovations in the stadium. But I just have no idea.
Yeah, I agree. And had we looked a lot more comfortable, or I should say, had we looked better, or looked even a little bit closer to what I thought we'd see from these first two games, that was my prediction before the season started. I predicted we were going to win this game against Buffalo, regardless of whether they came in 0-2, 2-0. It didn't matter to me, because I thought we would flip the script on them from last year when we went to Buffalo week two, and they smoked us because they had all that energy, passion, and emotion. But I will say this, okay, put out of your minds, and I'm not just saying this to you, I'm saying this to the listeners, put out of your minds what you thought you would see before the season started. Forget it. Take it and throw it in the garbage right now, but look at what you actually have in front of you. This is a Dolphins team we've seen before, but this is also a Dolphins team we've seen before find ways to win, find ways to improve in certain areas. There's certain areas we're not going to improve in. I'm sorry. That O-line is trash. This is what you're going to have to deal with the whole time.
Well,
we've seen it for 3 years. We've seen it for 3 years. We will see it one more. It just is what it is.
Jameel Douglas will start next season. Jameel Douglas has been good.
Yeah, he's been okay. Dallas Thomas hasn't been great, but he might end up being left tackle next week because Fox was absolutely just god-awful. And of course it would work out. So why is it with the Dolphins that whenever there's a storyline that brings a player against us that is like a former player of ours that feels scorned, they always come out on top of that battle? Every freaking time. Wasn't it just luck that Audric got to go against our beat-up Rusty Albert, who was hurt and probably shouldn't be playing, and then goes against crappy Fox? I mean, isn't it just lucky like that, that he gets to look like the hero? It's just the Dante Culpepper game comes to mind, obviously, one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, the only thing I can remember that went the other way was when Jason Taylor got stonewalled against us that one year when he was playing for the Jets. But I'm looking right now, the one thing that people calling for whatever they're calling for with Sue have to realize, he's on this team, and his contract makes it so he is on this team for 4 seasons. It is literally impossible to cut him.
You're talking about Cable Sue, right? Because the Lions had DirecTV Sue, so we got Cable
right,
Sue?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody tweeted that out to me, by the way.
No, honestly, and honestly, I put that on Kevin Coyle, because you don't necessarily coach Ndamukong Sue. You tell him, okay, here's where you are, there's where the quarterback is. Now, I don't care what's in between, but go there. And that's the only play call you have to give him for the entire week. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do with Sue, but he was rushing the quarterback every play. So if they were trying to drop him into coverage, I wouldn't listen if I was Sue either. To be completely honest, they're just being stupid if they're trying to do that. And honestly, Kevin Coyle is not the kind of coach who can... If Kevin Coyle can't get something out of this defensive unit, then there's absolutely nothing he can do. Kevin Coyle was a complete bum last season. Our defense started out so strong, and he got complacent, and he's getting complacent again this offseason. He saw, I have one of the best personnel groups in the league. What coaching do I have to do? I'm sure that's not what's actually happening, but I feel like he's consistently underachieving, and when he's not underachieving, he's right on par with average.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we went back and forth. I was at work at the time, so you tweeted something, I tweeted something, and then I say, okay, we'll talk about this tonight. Kevin Coyle is, I hate to say this, but at least for second half, he's been the best coach we got on the team, brother, because he's sure been better than Lazor, because Lazor comes out the first half with a crappy game plan, and he says, you know what? That crappy game plan worked out so well, I'm going to do it even more in the second half, and that's the way. And Tannehill has been bailing his butt out with a lot of really great throws. At least Coyle
Tannehill has bailed out Joe Philbin, Kevin Coyle, Bill Lazor, Stephen Ross, me, you.
Tannehill
should run a bail bond. Tannehill should run a bail bond business, because all he's doing is bailing people out at this point.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's
Ryan
ridiculous.
Tannehill is outperforming the entire team. He's outperforming his offensive line. He's outperforming everyone.
It's true, but at least, like I was saying, back to the what I was about to finish there, is that at least Kevin Coyle in the second half has gotten some things figured out. It still hasn't looked beautiful. We still have some issues. We still have some players that look, I don't know, like they don't know what the heck they're doing. I'll say that. Aikens had a bad game yesterday. Bryce McCain
had a bad game, but that's the expected.
Bryce McCain had a horrible game yesterday. Like, horrible.
I guess where Bryce McCain was when he made those bad plays.
Boundary.
I told you going into this, I told everyone, I was very, very consistent in saying that I wanted Jamar Taylor on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce McCain on the inside. But it probably wouldn't have helped because Jamar Taylor drew penalties. Our biggest problem were penalties. I mean,
and that's not like our team. That scares me to death.
Right, exactly. Our team, that's not our issue. And, I mean, we would have... Also, the other thing is we failed once again to establish the run, which was heartbreaking.
That's laser. Because I'm sorry, it's laser.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody wants to say right now, they're yelling, well, they're only getting 2 yards. They're not opening holes. But you still have to continue to run the ball.
He's done.
They were running. Go ahead.
Lamar is not the kind of running back that does what Bill Lazor does. Bill Lazor's system Bill Lazor's not letting Lamar Miller do what he has to do. Lamar Miller is the type of back who takes one cut. And either he guns it in there and does what he did against the Jets and just takes one cut and goes 97.
Uh-huh.
Or he's just going to run into a wall and you have to take a 1 yard loss.
Yeah.
You can't have him dancing. That's not his talent.
Yeah, he just needs to be able to hit the hole. But there's nothing wrong with running the ball and getting 3 or 4 yards.
There's nothing wrong with that. Right now, watching on live TV, watching Brandon Marshall and Vontae Davis playing against each other in the Ghosts of Dolphins Past matchup.
Nice.
We're watching like Vontae Davis attempting to cover Brandon Marshall, and it's just hysterical because they're both doing dumb things.
Yeah. Well, it's Brandon Marshall. What are you going to say? Vontae Davis has actually been very good since he left the Dolphins. You know what? He was very good before he was at the Dolphins, but that's bygones right there, man.
We traded Vontae Davis for Jonathan Martin, though. Was that pick?
Yeah, that's exactly. That you know what? That's right. That was the pick. Woo, boy, that worked out great, didn't it? Man, I'm telling you right now, one of the things that's not going to get fixed this season is this O-line. Can their play improve some? Of course it can. Of course it can improve some. Can the play of the whole team improve some? Of course it can. But don't even think for a second you're going to see the team you thought you'd see before they played Washington. You're not going to see that team. But I will say this. If you take a look at that schedule now. You looked at it before the season started and you saw, woo boy. These teams, they're scary. This team. You know what? Take a look at that schedule now and tell me if you think that schedule looks as scary. We have some of the most struggling teams right now on our schedule, like in the NFL. Seriously. So they
teams
need to
are
get
saying
their,
the same thing about us.
They need to get their heads out of their ass and get this going because you were scared about Baltimore. They're blowing. You were scared about Philadelphia. Oh, man. I have to say I'm not. I'm not hating it so much that Philly's struggling right now, but anyway, look at Dallas and their
Philly's
injury issues.
Hard. I mean,
Indianapolis.
It looks like Tony Romo's first game back could be the Dolphins game.
Maybe,
but maybe if he's back this season, I'm not as optimistic as some are.
And Dez will not be back by that game.
I don't think Dez will be back by that game. Someone else pointed out to me that injury is the same thing that Kevin Durant had last season, and he follows that team more closely, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and said that injury is really rough. I mean,
that's pretty much a season-ending injury, even if he comes back.
Right. I mean, that's bad. That's a bad injury.
Yeah. So you look at our schedule, and I don't have it in front of me, but I just know that there were teams on our schedule that are struggling right now, including we're watching Indy, who did not look good against Buffalo and does not look good right now. I don't know what's going on with that team all of a sudden. We could say that maybe the Jets are better than we thought they were. We could say that. And the Bills we were scared of, they allowed almost 600 yards to the Patriots. 600 yards. 577, I believe, was the number, if I've got that number correct. That's insane. You know what I mean? That's just an insane number of yards for one of the best defenses, supposedly, in the NFL. So lots of teams have their struggles right now. including the Dolphins. I'm not saying it as, oh, excuse the Dolphins and their struggles. Oh, this, the struggles are real. Those struggles are real. You're having to bring, and I gotta, again, I'm gonna go with Coyle. I'm not gonna pound Coyle as bad as you're pounding him. He's having to make up for very poor linebacker play. He did not pick these linebackers. These are not his. These were given to him. He has two that are worth a damn. That's it right now. He has two that are worth a crap. He has Koamisi and Jelani Jenkins. Now he's having to bring safeties up to make up the difference for it. So that has caused problems right now. The safety play and the way they have to play is causing problems in the secondary right now, for sure. And the D-line is getting no pressure. Now, I don't know who to blame that on. Is it our new D-line coach because Casey Rogers is gone? Like, I don't know. I don't understand that right now. I don't get it.
How about it's everyone?
Yeah, it is. It's everyone.
It's Cameron Wake's injury. It's Cameron Wake's injury.
It's OV's injury. It's Sue. I don't know what's going on with Sue.
OV, it's not OV's injury. It's OV's head.
I guess so. He wants to go at it, and he wants to kill it so bad this year that he's got to get out of his own head or something, maybe. I don't know, man. There's really no words for it right now, but they got to get it figured out. What I'm scared about is that we don't have the best coaching staff to be able to get us through. We're never going to get through all of these problems. That's just, let's face it. We're not going to figure out our way through all of these problems. Some of these problems are going to rear their ugly head from now until the end of the season. And the two I think that are going to hurt us the most are the O-line play and the linebacker play. I think we have the talent the rest of the positions of the team. If you look at the players we have, it can get figured out. And we could still be pretty good. Thank you, Ryan Tannehill, for some increased awareness all of a sudden out of nowhere. Because I tell you what, he made some plays yesterday, man, that he had never seen him made before when it came to being aware of who was around him in the pocket, getting out of there, and still throwing the ball. I had not seen him do that before.
The defensive line was as bad as any unit on the team this week.
But it's talented enough that I could see them figuring it out. I'm not saying that they will. I'm saying that they can. They ain't figuring out this O-line. It's figured out. We figured out that it's really bad. We got snowed. we got snowed in the preseason and snowed in the offseason. It was all a bunch of crap. The O-line is bad, and this is what it is. I mean, what did Tannehill take, what, one sack yesterday?
But that was by virtue of Brian Tannehill's ability to escape. He did a great job.
Yeah, thank you. So bad O-line play. He's going to be running for his life a little bit. He's doing a better job of the awareness, and this is what it is. It's going to hold Tannehill back a little bit. As bad as that O-line has been, and with no running and not even attempting to run, which would really help him a lot. I mean, play action is non-existent right now. They're still running it. I don't know why they're even freaking bothering to run it. It's again, I'm going to go to Laser on that one. Why are you running play action, Laser, when you're not even running the ball? Why are you running play action on obvious passing downs? That's stupid anyway. It's a waste of motion. Just go back there and shotgun and make it happen. But right. Tannehill's got it like over, and I don't want to be as Lewis Sung will say, a QB rating zone, but Tannehill has over 100 QB quarterback rating right now. So these two games, he's at like a 101 point something.
Yeah, he didn't play a good game against Washington,
and he had a 90 something.
Game. I mean, honestly, what we saw from Ryan Tannehill yesterday, he really squeezed the ball into some tight windows.
Mm-hmm.
He made good reads, and the thing that I was very impressed with before the receivers were one size fits all thing for Ryan Tannehill, he would throw all the receivers the same. What he did yesterday, he understood. He said, I see Jordan Cameron. Jordan Cameron is taller than any damn dude on the defense. So he went up and over. Mm-hmm. He sees Jarvis, and he says, Jarvis Landry can adjust to this pass, and throws it over his opposite shoulder, and Jarvis adjusts and box out and makes the catch. You know, he knows that Rashard has some burst and throws it to him. He's understanding what his receivers can do. Because this is the first time that he's had time to develop a rapport with his receivers. I mean, you know, Rashard has been with him since day one. Mm-hmm. He's got Jarvis, who's obviously just an absolute godsend.
One of the few highlights of our team right now.
Rashard Jones.
Rashad Jones is the only highlight on defense right now. He's the only guy I'm pointing to on defense. And say,
Brent Grimes is still playing.
Well, Brent Grimes is being Brent Grimes. But he's, I mean, I don't want to dismiss his greatness, if you will, if you want to call it that. I don't want to dismiss his great play, but he's giving us what we expected, unlike Sue. But he's giving us what he expected. Rashad Jones is bringing it to a whole new level, man. He is going like he might be, he really might be the best strong safety with Cam Chancellor not playing right now, might be the best strong safety in the NFL right now.
Even with Cam Chancellor playing, as far as I'm concerned, Rashad Jones is pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, he's close. I mean, he's at least top 2-3, somewhere in there. I don't think that can be debated. So, there's a few highlights. So that's what. So take that, and again, I'm gonna go to the positive side of it. So take those things. Figure that Akins is inexperienced, but he has ability. I don't know about the other side of the cornerback spot. I don't know. And I agree with you what you said. You said you wanted McCain in the slot. You wanted Jamar on the boundary. And I kept saying that's not that I didn't want that, but I didn't think it was going to happen. They trusted McCain more. But when McCain first came to this team, I said from almost the first week I ever did this show back in late April, early May, that the spontaneous utterance of McCain was when he first got interviewed, before the coaches got into him and said, here's what you need to be saying, here's your talking points. He said, I am a nickel cornerback. Those were his words. So I kept saying, you know what? He said he's a nickel cornerback. He said that's where he's more comfortable. They forced him to the outside because they don't trust Taylor. But they better get this figured out. I don't know what else to do because Bryce McCain was not the answer. And, you know, Bobby McCain's not the answer. He's too young. Tony Lippett's definitely not the answer. He's a project. And there you go. You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
And, you know, there goes Will Davis.
I'm sorry?
Will Davis. And there goes Will Davis off to Baltimore.
Yeah.
But it is worth noting some positives, you know, about this football team. The Rashad Jones is going to be on the team for a while. The only person who's lived up to the hype is Tannehill. He's been as good as we thought he would be this season.
As good as we hoped, yes. That's it. That's not it.
I thought he was better yesterday than we'd hoped because he did things that Ryan Tannehill just doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, he jammed the ball into tight windows. He saw pressure, moved up in the pocket. He did things that we historically bashed Ryan Tannehill for that aren't really teachable.
Yep.
And one thing I will say, you know, whether Bill Lazor is with us after this season or not, he was instrumental in Ryan Tannehill's development. Because what Ryan Tannehill learned from Bill Lazor's offense, he will carry over into the next system.
And the way it's going, there'll be a next system. Of course, it's still early. I'm not trying, you know, guys, I'm not trying to crap the season away and say it's over and it's done.
The season's not over.
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, forget what you thought you were going to see. It's done. It's over. This is what you have. This is the Dolphins team we're rooting for. Don't expect to all of a sudden turn the corner and look like the team you thought you were going to see. Don't keep expecting it to happen. It's not going to happen. There's too many issues to fix. Many of them fixable. A couple of them simply not fixable. They have to be worked around, like linebackers. I don't know how you work around O-line, except for quick passes.
Really?
That's really what you do, quick passes. That's how you get around a bad O-line.
With our linebackers, Kobe's been average. Jelani Jenkins has been above average. Jelani Jenkins is a good player. And when you look at that group, we just need to kind of make a decision or just do something inside. We need a middle linebacker. I go to UCLA, I'm already calling for Miles Jack in the 2016 draft in the first round, but we need an inside presence on that defense, and then we're set. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at who a new coach would keep, he would keep Polamisi and Jelani Jenkins. He would keep, and on the O-line, he would keep Albert, Juwan James, Pouncey, and Jameel Douglas. I think it's a poorly coached unit because you see that unit playing well, and that's my thought. How much talent do we have that would be a strong carryover into next season? I think the defense has you know, eight starters who would carry over. The only ones who wouldn't would be opposite Rashad Jones, whoever they pick up at safety.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be inside linebacker, and it would be cornerback opposite Grimes. There's only three spots that need fixing on the defense.
Okay.
Then on offense, one position, left guard. Other than that, I mean, Albert is coming along slowly. He tore his ACL last year. We got to give him time to get back. And we rushed him back to get him on the field, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But if you're going to rush someone back, you have to be willing to let them go through the learning curve to relearn how to use that knee and how to play well on it with confidence. So we've got that. And then you have to turn around and say, what head coach, if we got a new head coach, how many of these guys would they keep?
Yeah, it depends on what kind of system they're going to come in and run, too.
Speaking of Ghosts of Dolphins Past, we've got Kendall Langford on the screen currently. That's a throwback.
Yeah, but it
I mean, what I wouldn't give for Kendall Langford right now, for Randy Paul Solii, or for Jake Long. I mean, it's like, I don't know what it is. I mean, teams obviously have to move on with players, but it just seems like this unit that we have right now is playing really uninspired football. And I think when you say uninspired, who's the first person in the Miami Dolphins organization that comes to mind?
Uninspired. Oh, Joe Philbin. I don't know why I didn't even have to think about that.
Joe Philbin. I always say about a head coach, you have to be one of two things. You have to either be a motivator, a John Gruden, like a John Gruden motivator, you know, someone mm-hmm. who can get a team fired up, or you have to be a Bill Belichick, and you have to be a genius on the blackboard.
Yeah, you, I mean, when you the ultimate strategist. Or the ultimate motivator.
Or you have to be someone who gets your players to play harder than the other team. That's Rex Ryan versus Bill Belichick. Well, Rex Ryan's a little bit both. But Joe Philbin is neither. Joe Philbin is not a brilliant strategist. I mean, you know, he didn't call plays.
I hate to interrupt you, but did you just see that pick just now? That was pretty sweet.
Yes, I did just see that. That's why I stopped. That's exactly why I stopped.
Yeah, I knew that's why you paused for a second. You're like, he saw that pick. I got to just comment on it.
Yeah, but we're watching Monday Night Football for any listeners while we're doing this because we are football fans above all else. But so Joe Philbin is neither. You know, a lot of people thought coming in from Green Bay that we'd have that awesome Aaron Rodgers system where they sling the ball down the field the whole time and they'll throw a run in there and then the personnel groups change. But no, because Joe Philbin didn't do any of that. Joe Philbin was the babysitter, and Mike McCarthy was the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that point, you have to turn around and then say on defense, Joe Philbin has no experience.
No.
And
zero. And he's never been a play caller either. I mean, he just put in the game plan in Green Bay. We've said that 100 times. He put the game plan in. And these game plans have sucked these first two games.
Kevin Coyle was a defensive backs coach. Please explain to me how since he arrived in Miami, that has been a weakness. Not in one of his seasons has that been a strength.
I can't explain it.
I mean, right. Well, it's the one thing with Bill Lazor, he's a quarterback's coach. He's gotten the quarterback better. So he's at least doing some semblance of his damn job. But, I mean, this coaching staff for me, and honestly, it's on the coaches. A little bit. When players are having penalties like that, like the Dolphins did, and it's the same penalty consistently, that's a little bit on the coaches because it's their job to teach the players how to play disciplined football. Yes, it's on the offensive linemen, but it wasn't on one guy. I mean, there were holding calls on Albert, then there's one on James, and there's one on Pat. Like, it's on the good players, too. And then on defense, Kevin Coyle's got to get his damn ducks in a row because his people – the defensive backs are his people. You and I sat together in Davie and watched Kevin Coyle spend the entire practices with the defensive backs. If he's spending all that time with the defensive backs, they need to not have dumb penalties. You know, there's a 3rd and 8. Bortles drops back, throws the ball out to his left. Jelani Jenkins has good coverage. 15 yards downfield. Illegal hands to the face on Jamar Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
First drive of the game. Pass interference on Bryce McCain. Those are his people.
And
Ryan coach teams are a good example. Mm-hmm. Rex Ryan coach teams are always good on defense. Their offense fails. If Kevin Coyle was failing in the front seven, that's because his front seven coach isn't doing well because that's not his domain of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
These defensive backs are Kevin Coyle's baby.
Yeah, I don't. I don't understand, but I still say that Kevin Coyle is not as bad as Lazor right now, because Lazor is continuing to do the same thing second half as first half. And not, we were never more than what? And at one point, was it 10 to nothing? I don't even remember. I don't think we were ever more than a score away from Jacksonville, correct? And spent most of the time tied.
Yeah, the game started out, it went 10 nothing, and then Dolphins.
And then we started to do the Dolphin thing.
We had two field goals.
Yeah.
Then we got touchdown. Then we missed the field goal going into halftime, which would have been really nice considering we lost the game by 3 points. But Caleb Franks is not the concern right now.
Yeah. Caleb Franks. No, he's not, actually. He's got a pretty good
leg. Andrew Sturgis might be better.
Yeah, Andrew Sturgis. No, see, I don't even feel that way. He missed the one field goal. He's a rookie. He's got a pretty good leg. I still feel better about him than
I do. I'm just being an ass.
Have you looked at the kicking in the NFL right now? I don't know what it is.
It's
but
bad.
I'm telling you, it's so bad. All of a sudden, they bring that extra point back a little bit, and it is freaked out, the kickers. They can't make 35-yard field goals anymore. They are out of their minds. I just saw Vinatieri miss one, right? Tonight, like an easy one.
There are teams that are really just blowing my mind right now. The Colts being one of them. You and I are watching right now as they hang close with the Jets. This was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender heading into the season.
I just feel like, at least Kevin Coyle, by the second half, even towards the end of the second half in this Jacksonville game, if it wasn't for that stupid penalty, he had started to figure it out. And beyond the 3 points they allowed at the end, and some of it, again, was more stupid penalties. At least strategy-wise, scheme-wise, he starts to figure it out by midway through the second quarter. Both games, he started, okay, I got this. I'm starting to figure this out. On the offensive side, you know who's had to figure it out? Tannehill's like, well, screw this. If we're not going to run the ball, I'm going to have to just make this crap happen. But you know what? Tannehill is just maybe a skosh away from being able to do that. He is so close to be able to really take the team on his back and just do it. Now, he's that close, but the team around him is playing so poorly, his offensive line, I should say. Then, you know, we don't have Sims. Then Cameron goes out, which, again, I was freaking out about only having two tight ends. I said, you're crazy to only have two rosterable, if that's a word,
well,
tight ends.
Stoneburner's Stone Goat.
Stone Goat.
Stoneburner caught the touchdown. The Stone Goat.
Yeah, I get that he caught the touchdown, but the fact is this man wasn't worthy of your 53 2 weeks ago, and now he's out there catching a touchdown, and he's your only tight end. I mean, that's bad. I mean, that's bad. That they needed to have done a better job at getting a third tight end, especially considering the issue with Cameron. Now, the Sims thing was kind of a freak thing. I don't know that he's ever had a real injury issue. I know he's had some injuries before, but nothing major. But man, that's just crazy. So the tight end's an issue, the O-line's a big issue, and Lazor's not running the ball. And we know Lamar Miller's good, man. I'm sorry, no one can sit there and argue with me and try and tell me Lamar Miller's bad. Lamar Miller is a good running back, and if I'm going to be so pissed if he goes to, like, I don't know, name a team that's probably pretty good that needs
don't
a running
you
back, whatever.
Dare.
And he
don't
kills it for like 1,500 yards.
Say what I know you're going
to
want
to
say.
If he goes to...
Don't you dare say that Lamar Miller would go there and rush for 2,000 yards next season. Don't do it, because that would be the best running back Tom Brady's ever had.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to say that. I was actually going to say Dallas. Dallas came to my mind. A team that lost to
really?
Marco that lost to Marco Murray. And
oh, I don't
now
care
they're,
about Dallas.
They're
Dallas
trying to do so it with Joseph Randall in there. And he's going to go run for like 1,500 yards, dude, or some
people
crap like
my,
that.
I don't... People in my age group don't really understand the Cowboys hate. Like, I don't understand the Cowboys hate that much because they weren't that good when, like, I was growing up. I mean, I grew up watching football. My, like, earliest memories of football are, like, 2006 to 2011. And so, like, I don't have that Dallas. I mean, like, the Patriots are the new Cowboys where it's just, like, we hate everything about you.
Oh, God, I hate the Patriots so much. It just makes me want to throw up right now that they're still continue, and they got problems on defense, but they haven't been exposed yet because their offense has been good enough to overcome those defensive issues. That should be an interesting battle once we ever get there. I think Tannehill kind of have his way with that defense. I don't think they're a very good defensive team, but they might get it figured out by them. It's only been two games.
You know, one positive for the Dolphins with Lamar Miller the way he is, we see the talent is still there, and I think we'll be able to get him for a really good price. Because I thought going into the season that his agents would start out at the Justin Forsett asking price.
Mm-hmm.
right now it looks like they wouldn't even be able to ask that. So I think we would actually be in pretty good shape right now in trying to re-sign him.
Well, if I'm Lamar Miller, I wouldn't even be negotiating right now with what they're doing, handing you the ball 8 times a game, and you're the starting running back. That's ridiculous. That is 100% Lazor and his crappy play calling that he continues on throughout the entire game. He has no commitment to that run game. And I said in the preseason, I said I was concerned about the fact that we look pretty good and we converted in the red zone in the preseason, but man, we are really not running this ball like at all. There's like no running game.
You and I are watching the Jets right now. The Jets offense can move the ball if they have to. I mean, Fitzpatrick's better than Geno Smith. I think I'll give him a favor, but
I mean, these guys are wide open right now, like Indy. That defense is not good at all.
By the way, guys, anyone who's not watching the game, what we just watched is we just watched Eric Decker do exactly what he did against Miami in Week 17 of last season, mm-hmm. and just go straight wide open over the middle. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has the ability to hit those intermediate routes. You know, that's something he does well. And I don't know that we'd be able to beat this team right now. I don't know that we'd be able to beat the Bills right now. I think it's important, though, to Ron, you've been saying it, and I wholeheartedly agree. Our expectations have to be set to zero.
Yes, reset them back to the normal Dolphins. The same old freaking Dolphins. I won't say the word that my friend usually says.
Honestly,
just reset
them. The Dolphins are going to be 8-8 in the next 27 seasons and pick a player with the 15th overall pick in the draft who's just completely average because that's what happened, 15th overall pick in the draft. And then the Dolphins are just going to have a team full of Mike Pouncies.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. And hey, we need to get, speaking of first round pick, we need to get Parker more involved in this. I mean, it's a trust thing, but you need to do it.
When did Rishard Matthews finally decide to be a starting receiver?
He's been good. We got receivers. You kidding me? We got receivers. I mean, that's not a problem. We got receivers. We got Tannehill. We got a good running back. And I even think Damien Williams isn't that horrible. But if you don't run him, what the heck good does that do anyway? I mean,
very true.
It's just come on. It's ridiculous. But that O-line, man, that O-line just... I know this is just a 45-minute rant, but
Rashard Matthews was a big positive. I mean, he was getting open. He was getting open underneath. He was doing the same kind of things that Keenan Allen does to get open. I mean, making plays with smart routes, using his physicality. He's a bigger-bodied receiver, much like Keenan Allen. And that's who he looked like yesterday trying to get open. I mean, that one pass in the first game, the first play of the game, was lucky. I mean, that got tipped right into the right.
Yeah, Tannehill probably underthrew that by, like, a hair.
But, I mean, like, Ryan Tannehill looked really good for the most part. And also, anyone who claimed the pass that he, quote-unquote, overthrew to Greg Jennings, mm-hmm. that was clearly a miscommunication. That was an overthrow. It was just being ridiculous.
I do want to say that I do feel like this team has enough talent on the field. That's the number one thing. If you don't have talent,
Rex Ryan would get 13 wins with this team.
Yeah, he probably would.
If Rex Ryan has never had an offense like this, Rex Ryan has never even had a defense like the Dolphins defense right now on paper, Rex Ryan would have this team at 13-3.
Yeah, but we have enough talent we still have enough talent to turn this thing around. That's all I know. Right now we have enough talent to turn it around. Even with a loss to Buffalo next week, wait, I'm not freaking out now. I'm no longer freaking out. My freak out was, oh my God, I thought this team was going to be so amazing, and they're not. So I'm past that. I've dropped that. I'm over it, and I'm not caring about looking like a dominant playoff team now. Now I want them to figure some crap out. I still think that we have enough talent on this team for them to do it, and we have. Here's the thing: is possibly, and we could say this maybe for the first time in 15 years. Possibly the most talented person on our team is our quarterback. And that's the most important position to have the most talented person on your team.
I would personally say Rashad Jones is there for me right now.
Okay.
But I think it's very, very close. I think, you know, for once, there's a very big difference between when your quarterback drops back and you're anxious and when your quarterback drops back and you're excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited when Ryan Tannehill drops back in the pocket. I was nervous when other quarterbacks for the Dolphins in the last 10 years have dropped back in the pocket. When Ryan Tannehill drops back, I get excited.
Yeah, when I see him fling it 30 yards, I'm like, hell yeah. I used to close my eyes and pray to God it just wasn't intercepted. Now well, I see I him fling Chad it 30 Henning, yards, I'm like, yes.
When I saw Chad Henne throw it deep, I just knew it was going to be overthrown because of that arm. I wanted Blake Bortles to sit. I wanted the Chad Henne rematch. I was excited. They stripped me of that pleasure.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? Blake Bortles didn't look so horrible. I mean, he still makes some bad throws, but he didn't look so horrible.
I say, Washington came out and beat the Rams, who are supposedly one of the best defensive lines in football, just like Miami was. And I think the Rams' defensive line is better than the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Washington.
The Dolphins. Even heading into the season, I said it. You know, Michael Brockers is way better than Earl Mitchell. You know, Aaron Donald has every bit as much enough potential to be as good as Sue. And then Chris Long and Robert Quinn are right there with Sue and Vernon. I think better than Vernon. I mean, Wake and Vernon. Right there. And, I mean, the Washington Redskins beat them. So, and the Jacksonville Jaguars looked like a pretty good football team. I mean, we looked god-awful, let's just say that. I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses. But, you know, they could be two overachieving teams this year. And Joe Philbin could have walked into the season saying, oh, we got this, it's Jacksonville and Washington, whatever. And those teams have talent.
Yeah, no, I mean, Washington obviously showed that their performance against Miami wasn't a fluke. So that's something to put your, hang your hat on. I believe Jacksonville plays New England next week. So let's see how that goes. that might be a whole different story. But I'm just telling you right now, I'm looking in the league and I see one, two, maybe three teams that are like, I feel right now Dolphins wouldn't have a prayer to beat. And I hate to say that one of them is New England. And the only prayer we have is that a lot of times we just play New England tough and it's divisional. If it wasn't divisional, forget it. I don't feel like we could beat Pittsburgh right now because I think Pittsburgh would throw 700 yards on us. That's just my opinion. And especially once they have Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant back, they would kill us.
Pittsburgh's offense is their strength.
It reminds me of Shula. Shula used to run the crap out of the ball and play ridiculous defense in the 70s. Then he drafted Marino and said, screw defense and running the ball. Let's throw the ball for 5,000 yards a season. Because he knew that, you know what, it's not about philosophy. It's about these are the great players I got, and this is how I'm going to win. And that's how Mike Tomlinson's going to roll with it. And to repeat what Tomlinson said in his conference, I said what I said.
Tomlin. Mike Tomlin. LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, sorry. Tomlin. Tomlinson.
With Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Tomlin. Tomlinson.
No, I wish we
everybody knew what I was talking about.
Mike Tomlin is one of my favorite head coaches in the league.
You know, we interviewed him for that position, by the way, as part of the Rooney rule, but obviously didn't choose him.
Right. We have to hope that some ridiculous college coach decides to come up next season. Because what Stephen Ross did this year, Stephen Ross would have fired Joe Philbin if Jim Harbaugh had gone to the NFL. Jim Harbaugh and Stephen Ross are both Michigan men.
Yes.
Stephen Ross knew in advance. Jim Harbaugh told him. He said, I'm not coming to the NFL, just so you know. Because in addition to being the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross is one of the biggest boosters in University of Michigan history. Gives a lot of money to that program. So he knew about the Jim Harbaugh decision before the NFL season ended.
Yes.
So he knew that Joe Philbin was his best option because you saw what happened last season with the crop of head coaching candidates. I mean, Rex Ryan wouldn't have signed with the Dolphins. I just don't think it would have happened. It's not Stephen Ross's style.
As a defensive coordinator or as a head coach?
As a head coach.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it's Ross's style. I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't.
It's interesting that you said this because on, I don't know how many episodes ago, I'll have to look back, maybe 20 episodes ago, I had my friend Sean, who, if anybody's listened to the show recently, the season kickoff show, which you were on a little bit, Max, we were there with Sean. And I said to him, and this is interesting. I'm so glad someone else is speaking up with this. I said, Jim Harbaugh, in my opinion, this is a little bit different than what you're saying, but kind of the same. When when we beat Minnesota by luck on the Fide blocked punt, right? When we beat Minnesota, we got lucky. We pulled it out, and Stephen Ross went in there and said, "Yay, I'm keeping Philbin. Everything is wonderful. You guys are great." You know, before we ended up still going 8-8, it seemed that we knew that Harbaugh had this Michigan offer for weeks before. It was like 10 minutes after that happened, Harbaugh said, "I'm going to Michigan." I just wonder if maybe he was holding off thinking he might come to Miami to see what happened. And then when Philbin did that,
maybe he decided to go
to Michigan.
I really, really don't want to make this into a Dante Culpepper, Drew Brees, or a Peyton Manning conversation where Peyton Manning scorned the Dolphins, even though we should all be very, very, very happy that Peyton Manning didn't sign with the Dolphins because it means that we have Ryan Tannehill.
That's true.
For 15 years instead of Peyton Manning for 5. But
yes, that's true.
No, Drew Brees with the Saints. If I was, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I don't get the outrage over. I get the outrage, obviously. I mean,
Brees against the Culpepper thing. Well, Saban's trying to say it wasn't him; it was the medical staff that he wanted to bring Brees. I don't know. I don't even know who to believe in that anymore.
Well, Alabama's not doing so hot right now either, so maybe Nick Saban will be a free agent and he'll get to sign with the Jets or something and we'll get to watch him watch like the dumpster on fire there.
That'd be nice, actually. Please, can't somebody come to the AFC East and suck it up for once? Why do we have to like watch Todd Bowles leave, go develop and come back and play and be the Jets coach? And now, you know, it's only season one. I get it's only 10-0 right now in this game, and maybe the Colts come back. But, I mean, really, why does that, again, you I will go back I, to, I, why I, do I, these storylines always work against us, dude? Why, what is it? Is it us? Are we really that crappy of an unclassy of an organization? Is that what's going on here? Am I missing something? Am I too inside or too just deep into my Dolphins bias that I can't I see we deserve exactly all this? I mean, I don't get it.
I don't think we're a crappy organization, personally. I mean, I don't know. I really think the most important thing that has to be said right now is that we just have to adjust our expectations. You said in the first minute of the show, and we're going to say it here in the last few. You know, that's the most important thing to finish with, that we just need to adjust our expectations.
Yeah, we do. And it doesn't mean we won't make the playoffs, guys. I'm not saying adjust your expectations, we're 8-8. I'm saying adjust your expectations, we're not Green Bay, we're not New England. We're not Denver a year or two ago. We're just not that. It doesn't mean we don't win 10 games. It doesn't mean we don't make the playoffs. It doesn't mean we don't even get in the playoffs and make a playoff, you know, win a playoff game like we're hoping will happen. It just means we're not going to do it the way you thought we'd do it. It's going to be a little uglier, maybe a lot uglier. So just take what you got and let's hope that they figure some things out. That's it. That's all I've got to say on it. I mean, we it's just a reset. We start over as Dolphins fans. We see what it really is, and we head into the season like that. Hey, I know you got to get running. So before you go, you want to plug your Twitter, plug your website, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we're working right now, Deep End Miami, at the Deep End Miami on Twitter. Answer any questions. I've got GIFs going up, Vines going up this week. If you want to check out Game Film Review, Tuesday and Wednesday are my days for that. So tomorrow and the next day, we will have vines up of, you know, any significant play, good and bad. And we love having anyone aboard on Twitter, on the website, thedeependmiami.com. We've got articles going up all week. And it's an interesting spin on Dolphins content. So any fans of the team, we would love to have you guys check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I like your gifs, dude. I love the vines and stuff that you, you hammered that one person with, the Sanchez ones at one time. That one person is, Mark Sitko from the Next Fan Up podcast. He's the Philly representative.
Oh, yeah. There's some really good.
He tried to say something about Sanchez. This is when we were all in like, oh, all of us thinking all our teams are going 16-0, you know, and he said something about Sanchez and you just started hammering him with every crappy play Sanchez ever did that just, you know, from butt fumble to you name it. It was hilarious.
I mean, that's what Mark Sanchez does.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. I will be, again, for those of you, and many of you actually messaged me and tweeted me about this past Sunday and that I didn't do the broadcast of the game. And I kind of, part of me is kind of glad, but I've been extremely sick for a long period of time. I know I keep talking about it. I think I finally getting past the other end of this, got on the right medicine. So I will be doing the Rabble broadcast, and I'll put the link to that on my Twitter. I will be doing that for the coming Buffalo game. So that's going to be awesome there. Still doing two shows a week. I'm a day late on this, but two shows a week for the recap and then the preview. I'll be continuing to do that. If you want to reach me, Twitter is the best way, at UnsquishTheFish. If you want to email me at unsquishthefish@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a great day. Fins up, guys. Don't get your heads down. Fins up.